We are looking at some of the things that we are happened with the Apple Watch this week. And my contention is that the big reveal of Apple was not really about the watch. It was about so much more. We're going to talk about some of the other technologies that I think really, in many ways, took up more time at the presentation. But I cut you off in the middle of your conversation. We have Rick Broider in studio, who's our gadget guy. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you in today was to talk about both the watches and some of the other technology that were there. But you were talking about your Martian watch.
Yeah, I was so excited. I couldn't stop. Yeah, so I've been wearing the Martian Notifier, and I was wearing the Pebble for quite a while, and then the loaner unit that Pebble was kind enough to send me, they unkindly wanted me to return. So I decided I'd wait for their next generation Pebble time. But in the meantime, I'm wearing this one called the Martian Notifier, which is, I think, very elegant. And
It is a very nice watch. It's black.
A little thick, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, but so the things I love about it is that it's not overcomplicated. It's just a watch that has a little screen along the bottom, and when you get a text message, you get a phone call, the watch vibrates to let you know there's an event,
right.
And then you look at the screen at a quick glance, and you know now, is this something I need to pull my phone out of my pocket to attend to, or can I just leave it be?
So it's more of a just a of teasing you or telling you about something that's happening and seem better elsewhere.
True to its name,
okay.
It's the notifier.
That's
right?
It.
And believe it or not, it sounds very simple, but it's such a time saver because it just saves me having to go to my pocket and pull my phone out all the time to see what it is I'm missing and whether I need to take.
And you
call.
Do a lot of communication on your phone throughout.
Tons.
Right.
Yeah.
Would that work for you, Gary, to have something like that was just a notifier, or would you want more content on the watch?
I would want more content.
Yeah.
But I mean, the notifier is great. It's just, you know, how much would I pay for something like that?
Yeah.
And it's probably not
how much
enough.
Would you pay for something like that, Gary?
So
the notifier, I think, lists for $129.
Okay.
So already very inexpensive relative
right.
to a lot of what's out there. And if you shop around, you can very frequently find it for under $100. So it's very affordable. That being said, the low-end Pebble is $99, so there is some competition
Shane,
there.
Do you wear a watch?
And the Pivotal Living that I was wearing for quite a while.
What is that?
Pivotal Living, it's $12 plus $3 of shipping and handling, so $15.
What does it do?
It monitors steps, mileage,
more of a health monitor.
Okay, but it doesn't pair with your phone in any way.
It doesn't pair with the phone.
Okay.
All right. Shane, do you use?
You know, I used to. I'm on and off. I'm with the trend because I wore my watch for the longest time, and then maybe about a year ago, my daughter said, "You know, Dad, the watch isn't really kind of cool anymore." And I said, "Really?" She goes, "No."
Shamed your watch right off your wrist.
And I said, "Okay." So I took it off, and I haven't worn it since. I mean, you know, you get the hipster down that wears a watch.
I was in a meeting or presentation, and there were probably 80 people in the room. And the question was, who here is now wearing a watch, right, anymore? And four or five hands went up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the point was, when we were talking about SCADA and what would happen in the event of a big electrical pulse that would wipe out some of the communications, and they'd say, so the rest of you, if we had an emergency, would not be able to tell time.
That's right. Yes.
And these people will become our new leaders. The wristwatch wearers.
No, I just have to be stronger than him.
We've been watching too much Walking Dead. What were you saying, Ed?
I just have to be bigger than he is, and I'll take his watch.
Ed, do you wear a watch?
No.
That's interesting. I still wear it. And if there was an EMP out there, I wouldn't worry about it.
And I stopped wearing a watch when I started working for a company where 24/7 really meant 24/7. Really. I mean, I would work 8 hours and then I'd have to go home and then come in for another 8 hours because I got paged and working weekends.
That's interesting.
And that's probably the it's such a trend now. I mean, these flex hours, everyone has on a different hours of the day isn't the same as it once was, you know? And I've got a natural act for telling what time it is just naturally. I don't know if it's from the scouts or all the years in the scouts, but I can just be outside and I can kind of sense about what time it is always. And it's something that's always been built in.
Yeah, I have that problem too. It's dinner time.
My wife thinks it's kind of freaky, but
no. Hey, go ahead.
So I want to just one last thing about the notifier that's special about it, not just the price, but the battery life. You know, the one thing everyone's complaining about with the Apple Watch, and I think rightly so, is that you got to charge it pretty much every day. The notifier has like a rated battery life of a week. This thing goes for a couple weeks, honestly, before I have to charge it again. And not only that, when I plug it in to charge, all I'm charging is the little LED display.
LED screen, right?
The watch itself has its own watch battery that goes for a year.
Yeah.
So even if the regular notification system dies, I can still tell time,
there you go.
Something that no other watch can match.
So,
I love that.
Yeah, one of the things I think this underlines is that there's a lot of watch competition out there. So the Apple Watch is going to have to be doing something newer, better. Now, one of the things I saw, and I want to go jump off the watch for a minute, because really the rest of the presentation was about the technology behind the MacBook that came out. But one of the things that they were talking about is if you pay $10,000 for the gold one, are you going to be paying for version 2 in a year, coughing up another $10,000? Yeah, some of the billionaires who will buy this will do that easily. But not the rest of us. Okay. Now, I want to move on to some of the other technology. Oh, before I do that, by the way, you mentioned the Pebble watches. Fascinating. The new Pebble watch is out. They still have 13 days to go on their Kickstarter campaign, and they've already raised $18 million+. Their goal was $500,000, and they have $18 million right now in the kitty.
And one of incredible. The incentives of that, of course, is that they actually get the product at a discounted rate for pledging the money, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, among other things. And the watch, by the way, is this Pebble Time Steel. It's a very beautiful watch.
Looks nice.
It looks very nice. Okay, the other technologies, and if you watch that Apple presentation, this was the case. It was like an iceberg. The rest of the iceberg was about the technology behind the MacBook itself. 12 inches. Retina screen on it, okay, was a big deal. A very small device, but beautiful, weighs 2 pounds at most. But, you know, there are other stuff on the market, et cetera, you know, that is out there probably. Windows, laptops and others that are light and can do that kind of thing.
Well, the Ultrabooks.
Yeah, the Ultrabooks. Mm-hmm. What struck me were three technologies that came out of this, and I'm interested in seeing your reaction to this and what you think the future of this is. One was called the Force Track Pad, where they have a huge trackpad on this thing, not the usual, like I have a MacBook right here, and it was about 2 times this size. That takes up most of the space where the keyboard is. It was run by this taptic response, they call it. In other words, under the keyboard that I have now, you can feel there's a little give on one side or the other. It's hinged underneath. The new keyboard doesn't have any hinging at all. There's no movement in it, but when you touch it, it has this called taptic response, which is an engine underneath that makes your brain think that it is actually pushing on something. And I watched videos where they had people randomly coming up and saying, what do you think? Do you think this is hinged? Oh, yeah, sure, it's hinged. No, it's not. But now, that's one thing that I think will be having applications in, for instance, gaming, I would imagine, on some devices. The other thing is they had this keyboard utility where the keyboards usually were working on this scissor technology where the key sits on top of like a scissor and it collapses one side or the other. And as you notice, there's a little wobble on my keyboard when I hit a key. It goes back and forth. With this new one, they're going to the butterfly mechanism. And just quickly, what that means is there's no wobble. It just goes up and down, and it's completely solid movement. They've been able to make the keys bigger because of that, and each key has its own LED on this. So that's a huge difference. And the last one,
I'm paying for 56 LEDs. I'm kidding.
Yes, you are.
Ahead, well, a backlit keyboard is not a new thing at all.
No. I don't know if this technology is new, but the LED in each one, but apparently the key stroke itself, however, is different, and on a very small area, it has allowed them to make the keyboard even bigger,
And keyboards are very important.
I think you've actually now just transitioned to a techie.
Or a fanboy.
Because I'm looking, I'm looking at Motley Fool, right?
and
what they care about, they're pretty technical, but when they do a review on a product, it's all around what value is it to the customer.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
And there's 4 sentences on the new MacBook, and none of them talk about
the
technology.
Okay.
So they pan the technology. Yeah, it'll go into a lot of different things eventually, but you know, what does it matter, I think, is what they're saying. So then I went to CNET, right? CNET doesn't list those technologies either. They didn't seem to be important.
At the time that they were doing it, at least the ones that I was reading after having watched them, what was interesting was that Apple spent a tremendous amount of time with videos explaining all of this technology. See, that was what struck me about this. With this whole presentation, it wasn't about the watch. It wasn't even about the laptop. They spent an inordinate amount of time talking about the technology behind the keyboard, this other force.
How innovative they are.
That's
exactly what they wanted. I think that's what they wanted to do, is they wanted to say, hey, you know, we're working on technology too. We're not just this, you know, this iPhone, you know, iPhone company. We have guys that can do some technology and change things to make things better. And that's kind of what I got out of that. That's what they really want everyone to think.
Yeah, but Gary, you're saying essentially that the economic world is kind of saying ho-hum.
Yeah, and even CNET, you know, put it down kind of in the also-ran column.
That's interesting. I want to talk about this last technology, and Ed, I'm interested in your response to this, because this is this new USB-C. In other words, there's only one port on this thing.
You mean I got to buy more cables?
Well, we'll find out in just a minute as we return with the Internet Advisor.